Blog Talk Radio.
At the midnight hour, broadcasting from Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. In this evening's segment on the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, we're going to cover a topic that is sure to gather a lot of interest, particularly here in America. A land that has no shortage of false apostles and false prophets. We'll take a look at what the word of the Lord says concerning his servants and the apostles and the prophets, and we can measure that against the evidence that we see and the standards that are set by this world. And so at the end of this segment, have a very clear comparison and contrast. The standard of the Lord and what the Lord sets out in the Holy Scriptures, in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, both Old Covenant and New Covenant, and we will see a consistent theme, a consistent thread, that our Lord God, he changes not. And we will find that the standards of men, that they do indeed change. And so for this evening, we'll start at the false prophets and the biblical poster child of the false prophet. And you will find him, this is Balaam, in Numbers chapter 22, verse 7. Just one scripture. Balaam is referred to throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's read Numbers 22. This is Numbers chapter 22, verse 7. And again, we'll see the standard of the Lord versus the standard of men. And we will find at the end of this segment that truly there are no apostles in the United States of America, and there are no prophets in the United States of America. So we'll start at Numbers 22, verse 7. The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee, that is the money, the gift, the cost for divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said. As we read through the entire chapter of Numbers 22, this is the story of Balaam, who was encouraged to prophesy against the Israelites. And in fact, we find that Balaam does speak the word that the Lord gives him. But we find Balaam introduced as one who prophesies for a fee, the fee of divination. He will prophesy for a gift. In the New Testament, he's referred to as the one who prophesied for gain throughout the entire New Testament as well. We see the Lord's standard has not changed. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord lays out clearly what is the definition and the characteristics of a prophet sent by the Lord, a real prophet. And he lays these out clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and again in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And we will read through briefly Deuteronomy, let's start at 13, and we will see how the Lord describes a prophet sent by God. Chapter 13, verse 1. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, so if it happens, and then that prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. Here we find if a prophet speaks a word and it comes to pass, yet he leads the children of the Lord away from the kingdom of God. The prophet's word, the prophet is not to be heeded. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. And there are so many false prophets and so many false apostles, self-proclaimed prophets and self-proclaimed apostles in the United States, because many of them do speak a sign or the wonder through the power of darkness and divination, and it does come to pass. For we know that the Egyptians in the court of Pharaoh could do such a thing. And there are those today and throughout the world that operate in the spirit of the occult and of the darkness of evil, and they can mimic signs and wonders. We see this also in 2 Thessalonians. We saw it in the days of Moses, and we see it today. Anybody who's been to a third world country and have seen the witch doctors and the necromancers and all of the abominable things of divination, they will tell you, you know what? They are operating in real spiritual power. They are. But it's not of the Lord, and it's not of the kingdom of God. We see this with the false prophets throughout the land, where they have engaged in sorcery, in magic, and in witchcraft, and in dark arts, and in manipulation, and in the demonic, and they call themselves prophets and or apostles. We have entire schools of prophets and apostles in the United States of America. These are schools of blasphemy, because it is the Lord that we see in the Word of God, and we will cover very shortly. It is the Lord who calls his servants the prophets. We see this in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. We see this again in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 5. We see again in the Gospels where John was called by the Lord to be a prophet. Not a man, not a school, and certainly not a committee. It is the Lord that calls his servants the prophets. So Deuteronomy chapter 13 tells us outright that just because a sign or wonder comes to pass, that does not authenticate a prophet of the Lord. That prophet must not lead you to another God. And here the Lord uses the very clear definition of let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them. So we can see right away, oh, to those false prophets, they have mind control powers and witchcraft and sorcery. They make all kind of things happen. Yet we feel defiled, and we don't know why it is we feel defiled, but now that we look, we can see, yeah, they were really hammering home that point of money. They were really hammering home that point of control. Where the false prophets and the false apostles say, oh, lay your feet, your money, at the feet of the apostle or the prophet. And so although the children of the Lord have been lied to, yet intuitively they know that was a defiling spirit. That was a spirit that was defiling, but they couldn't put their finger on what was it, because of the mind control and the black magic and the witchcraft and the sorcery that's performed by all of the false prophets in the United States of America. And all of the false apostles, they have wonderful salesman skills and wonderful skills of persuasion, but those are the skills of the world and the skills that are begotten of by fellowship with the enemy. And so they have exploited the children of the Lord. They have lied to the children of the Lord. And they're invited today into the house of God to lie and then get paid for that lying. These false prophets clearly do, and apostles line up with Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. We'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and the Lord gives us more detail on the false prophet and the false apostle. Now that we've removed another god and money out of the equation, it's not hard to see that there are no apostles and no prophets of the Lord in the United States of America. But let's go further into Deuteronomy 18. And let's hear what the Lord says. Deuteronomy 18, preceded, right above, is the occult practices that we just described. When you enter the land, this is Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one, that's no one, be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It was because of these same detestable practices the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. And the Lord concludes, you must be blameless before the Lord. And so now we have come full circle in the land that Israel was given to by the Lord. Was a land that was full of divination, sorcery, mediums, and spiritists, interpreters of omens, and those that engage in witchcraft. And now when we look at the land, and in the house of the Lord in the United States of America, we see false prophets and false apostles, all of them, engaged in all manners of divination, sorcery, witchcraft, casters of spells, mediums, and spiritists, and those that consult the dead. Because there's no doubt that many do operate in power. But the fruit of their ministry is always pointing the children of the Lord to the earth and not to the kingdom of God. This is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 13, and the Lord concludes in verse 21. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. This is the evidence, this authenticity, that all the prophecies, that all of the things that the prophet speaks of in the name of the Lord must come true or take place. So there are many false prophets, false apostles, that can hang out in the rumor court, if you will, and consult with the enemy and spiritist and medium and have a fairly decent accuracy rate, but fall short of the accuracy of the Lord, which is all that they speak in the name of the Lord must come true or take place. So we hear oftentimes today in the church, well, this is the New Testament and the New Covenant. And, you know, the Lord doesn't have those same standards anymore because, well, we're covered by grace. And so we see people prophesy all the time. You know, we'll see them prophesy in the church and many of the charismatic churches and spirit-filled churches will say, you know, they can try and, you know, it doesn't come to pass. You know, they're learning or maybe they misunderstood. But that's not the definition of a prophet from the Lord, because we'll find very shortly that in the New Testament, the standard of the Lord does not change. Because the Lord God Almighty that we serve, He does not change. His righteousness and holiness never changes. The covenant that the church has misunderstood is not a covenant that she can sin all she wants because she has grace. she's completely misunderstood the covenant and the promise and what the blood of the Lamb did for us through all the suffering and torture. We have the grace not to sin. There is an enormous difference between the grace not to sin versus we can sin so much because we have grace to cover our sins. When we have the grace not to sin, the Lord changes our heart, as we see in Psalm 51. Create in me, O Lord, a new heart and a right spirit. Because our current heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. And the spirits we're hearing from are the same spirits that you're hearing the false prophets and false apostles hearing from, not the Holy Spirit, but the spirits of this world and of the kingdom of men. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 11. And you'll see the evidence that Jesus gave to the greatest prophet at that time. Jesus said there was no one greater than John the Baptist. We'll start at Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. So we have Deuteronomy 13. The prophet must speak the word of the Lord, and that prophet must lead you into the kingdom of God. And what that prophet says must come to pass. These aren't either-or propositions. These are characteristics and traits that must be there. And so in Matthew chapter 11, we'll start at verse 1, and we'll see Jesus give the same evidence back to John the Baptist. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now, this is a question from John the Baptist. This is the one who was preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. But notice that John was in prison. And we don't know exactly how long John had been in prison. In those days, and in Rome, there weren't really prisons like we have today, where there is lights and water and restrooms, and however crude you will, but we have them. They were in dungeons. You've seen photos as an example of medieval dungeons. But these were truly dungeons where refuse would fall into and the rats lived. And they were dark, very, very dark and damp and difficult to breathe. And you were essentially dying in the dungeon. So John had been in the dungeon for a while, no doubt, here, because we see that he asks an astonishing question. He's probably wondering, if you're the Messiah, why am I still in this dungeon? And this is a sincere question from John the Baptist. Remember, this is the prophet. Jesus said, there is no greater than John the Baptist. But whoever is to be greater should be least. Now let's hear what Jesus replies. John wants to know, what are the signs and characteristics? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Notice he didn't say the good news is proclaimed to the rich people at the front row to offer up fat tithes and offerings. No. No, he didn't say that. The Lord Jesus said the good news is proclaimed to the poor. In other words, as we read in Deuteronomy 13, that sign or wonder that takes place must come to pass. And that's what Jesus is showing. Look at how many things have come to pass. And then he's stamping it with the seal, the godly seal of approval. And he says, the good news is proclaimed to the poor, and of course, the spiritually poor as well. And the gospel is being preached, the good news, pointing people into the kingdom of God, not to another God. This is the acid test of a true prophet. It will come to pass. It will lead you into the kingdom of God, not to another God. There will be zero tolerance for sin. That's why we see John the Baptist, the poster child, Jesus gave him as the greatest prophet. In fact, right underneath this verse, after 6 and 7, Jesus asked, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. And then he quotes the Isaiah scripture in Malachi, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Malachi 3:1 is, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. So this is John and the characteristics of John's ministry, that he was preparing the children of the Lord to enter into the kingdom of God. He was not preaching the things of this earth. He was saying, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and turn away from sin. Return back to holiness and righteousness of the Lord, not the ways of this earth. Notice there's no compromising with the world in the message that Christ gave, and also in John the Baptist. This is the sign of the prophet and apostle from the Lord. We find that it is only the Lord that calls his servants and prophets and apostles. It's true for Moses, who was called, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, and Isaiah, and many, many Old Testament examples. And let's not forget the New Testament examples as well. Was it not the Messiah himself who called the 12 apostles to him? He even pointed out to them, you didn't choose me, I chose you. For of all the children of the Lord, which one of us actually woke up in the morning and said, you know, today I think I'll serve the Lord and today I will choose salvation? Not one person wakes up and does that, because it is the Lord that chooses us. And so if it is the Lord that chooses us, and then we agree with him, not one of us chose the Lord first, how much more so does the Lord choose his servants, his apostles, and his prophets? Now we can see, oh, according to the word of God, those schools of apostles and prophets, that is blasphemy. Amen. And it's blasphemy throughout the land. Not only that, not only is it blasphemy to have schools of prophets and schools of apostles, they even charge money. And I promise we would measure the current standard of man with the unchanging standard of the Lord. For the Lord, He is righteous, and the Lord, He is holy. When the Lord sent Elijah out to Zarephath, was Elijah charging for the ministry? He was not. When the Lord sent Naaman to Elisha, and we find the story in Kings, where Naaman the Syrian gets healed, and Elisha refuses the gift and the offering. Elisha heals the Syrian of leprosy, and he takes no money or reward. Now we can see, oh, wow. Pastor Lou, do we have false prophets and false apostles in the United States? Yes. Let us agree with the Lord, and let us tear down the altars of Baal that have polluted the land, defiled America, and defiled the altar of the Lord. For we have more false apostles, and false prophets than hairs on our head. For the Lord calls His servants the prophets, and the Lord calls His apostles, just like He chose us for salvation, and then we agreed with Him. None of us woke up and said, I think I'll choose salvation today. There's no compromising with the world, and the apostle and a prophet of the Lord will not look, act, or teach like the world either, because after all, they are called and set apart by the Lord to do His work. You'll know that they're called by the Lord because you will see the fruit. This is the fruit that Jesus just gave John, that the kingdom of God is being preached to the poor. This is the same fruit that Jesus described. You will know a tree by its fruit. Don't walk under a tree, get hit on the head with a coconut, and then think, oh, I wonder if that's a mulberry tree. No, you wouldn't do that. You would know that's a coconut tree. And an apple tree produces apples. And, of course, thistles don't produce apples or pineapples. We know that. And so from their spiritual fruit, we will know them. If Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18 are a bit fuzzy, Jesus gave us in Matthew 11 a repeat of that. And of the signs and wonders that will follow that prophet and apostle. You'll say, but Pastor Lou, we don't see any of these signs or wonders in the United States of America. I would make front page news, blind, seeing, lame, walking, leprosy healed, deaf hearing, dead raised, good news proclaimed to the poor. That would make front page news. Amen and hallelujah. It may not make front page news, but for sure, we don't see any of these signs or wonders in the United States of America, because there are no prophets and no apostles in the United States of America. There are plenty of false apostles and false prophets, but there are no real ones called by God. We have the sure word in Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18, and then we have the words of Christ Himself in the New Testament, in Matthew 11. Oh, but wait a minute. That's not fair, Pastor Lou, because that's the Messiah. Well, let's look at John's ministry himself. And we see in John chapter 1, verse 19, we won't read this, but we will see that the Pharisees and Sadducees and priests and Levites came out to see who John the Baptist was. They could see the fruit all around him, that people were being baptized and repenting from sins. We could see that John was out in the wilderness, separate from the established religious authority. This is yet another sign of the authentic, real deal. You will see repentance from sin when the Lord sends a real apostle and a real prophet. That's the definition. Right around John, they were repenting, they were being baptized, and they were preparing to enter the kingdom of God, and they were preparing for the Messiah. But look at the United States of America. If there were a real prophet or a real apostle, church, she would have been in repentance long ago. Didn't John say, "Who warned you, brood of vipers? Show fruit meet unto repentance." John wasn't fooling around. John was not in the business of pleasing men. John was not into fundraising. He was serving the Lord. He was striving to make certain that those that came heard the unadulterated word, that they would repent. He brought the holiness and righteousness of the Lord front and center, not money, not building one's own kingdom or building one's own building, if you will. No. And here we see the Lord is consistent. When he sends his servants, he calls them, and of course he sends them. They are consistent, whether Old Testament or New Testament, whether Old Covenant or New Covenant, because sin is sin. And the Lord will send his servants, apostles and prophets, when the priesthood no longer hears and the priesthood themselves are in rampant sin. So we can expect, based on that alone, a merciful, gracious Lord, that given how many false apostles and false prophets are in the land, and how there's been a famine of hearing the word of the Lord, that surely a prophet of the Lord is soon to arrive. For the church has been in a famine, and she has been exploited by these false prophets and false apostles. Let's take a look. That's Matthew chapter 11. We read up through verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. That's John chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. Jesus repeats Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy 18 as the acid test back to John. When John says, "Should we expect someone else?" Jesus said, "Well, here's the evidence." The same evidence the Lord said to look for. Jesus also states in the gospel, you will know in all the gospels, you will know them by their fruits. Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 18. The prophet of the Lord and the apostle, they will never charge you money. The reason they will not charge you money is because they are not into building their own kingdom. They serve the Lord, and because they serve the Lord is the one that provides. They won't sell you books either. No. The true prophet and the true apostle will hope and pray that you're reading the word of the Lord, and that anything they write they will distribute freely. Because doesn't the word of the Lord tell us that freely we have received, therefore freely give? This was a command and an instruction from our Lord and Savior. You will not see classes or schools of prophets or schools of the apostles or conferences of the apostles and conferences of the prophets, because it is the Lord who calls his servants. It is the Lord who calls the apostles. It is the Lord who calls his prophets. The school of prophets or school of blasphemy. We have many of them in the United States, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were even certified to receive government funding and student loan financing. Abomination on top of abomination. The apostle and the prophet called by the Lord will not build their own kingdom. No, they will be building the kingdom of God. The prophet and the apostle of the Lord will always point the children of the Lord to the kingdom of God. The real apostle and real prophet of the Lord will rebuke sin, the sin in the house of the Lord, for they are looking to restore the righteousness and holiness of the Lord back to the house of the Lord and the church, because that's what the Lord has called us to do. He has called us to walk in righteousness and walk in holiness. And now I can hear, Pastor Lou, all these large churches and modern churches and contemporary churches, they teach us to be relevant and adopt the mannerisms, when as in Rome, be as the Romans. But doesn't the Lord call us to be a peculiar people and to be holy as he is holy? We see that Paul was all things to all people, but at no time did he dilute the holiness of the Lord or the righteousness of the Lord, and at no time did he use that as a compromise for sin. I think I'll go to a Hollywood R-rated movie, or any Hollywood movie for that matter. No. To be all things to all people is to understand where they are in their station in life. Not to adopt their sinful ways that we just read, which is exactly the reason the Lord drove them out, the enemies of Israel out. We have false prophets and false apostles practicing that sorcery, divination, witchcraft, and all manner of occult mind control. Oh, place your money at the feet of the apostle. The fruit of the apostle is clear. They will produce fruit in line with the kingdom of God. That means that the message of salvation will be brought to their hearers. That means that repentance will be in the house of the Lord, and holiness and righteousness will be there. That apostle won't be collecting money, because that apostle is there to serve the church. Now, the false apostles, and there are many of them, all of them in the United States, they'll be very successful in having evil seed reproduce evil seed. We see that over and over again, that the seed after its own kind, both in Genesis and again in the gospel that the Lord gave us, a tree is known by its fruit. These false apostles, they'll plant false churches all throughout the land. There are many of them, and we all know them with the cults, but they're also in the house of the Lord. And some are even well-meaning, and yet the deception, blinded by the world, blinded by the enemy, blinded by the love of money and the things of the flesh. And again, in 1 Corinthians 12:28, Paul reiterates, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. But notice, who has done the placing? The Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles. Not schools of apostles, not the feats of the apostle. Let us go and learn from this school or even this seminary. But we all know that there are many offshoots and false schools and false teachers out there where they teach other false prophets and other false apostles. They give them certificates and say, there you go. Now go out and reproduce yourself. Reproduce more fraud. Reproduce more evil. For only the Lord calls his servants, prophets, and the apostles. Did we not see this with Paul on the way to Damascus? If it's not enough that it's the Lord Jesus that called the 12 apostles, the Lord called them, they didn't call themselves. If it's not enough that it's the Lord that chooses us, why don't we look at Paul on the way to Damascus? Does anyone think that Paul really was headed on his way to Damascus and decided to run into the Lord? Or did the Lord call him, freeze him, blind him, and paralyze him on the spot, and then call him? Ah, the Sovereign Lord did that. He called Paul an apostle. Paul did not get the calling from hanging out with Peter or any of the other apostles. And Paul makes that clear later, and everyone was well aware, wow, something happened on the road to Damascus. That's right. Something did happen. Very consistent. The Lord called his apostle. The same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. For our Lord God, he changes not. Now, the contemporary and the relevant churches and relevant teachers and false apostles and false prophets, they do change and they will twist the word of the Lord, but his word changes not. It endures forever, and our Lord God changes not. Now is the time to throw out the false apostles. Now is the time to throw out the false prophets. Stop funding them. Stop entertaining them. Don't even go to their websites or hear what they have to say. It's divination from the pit of hell. The Lord will send you no prophet who charges for prophecies. No prophecy is of personal interpretation, yet don't we have millions and say, I've got personal prophecy. I'm a prophet. I got personal prophecy for you. It almost sounds like, you know, I got a personal insurance policy for you right here in my pocket. You like that idea? Sure. I've got a personal gift for you. Really? Isn't that witchcraft? Isn't that divination? Isn't that what the sorcerers and mediums do? Don't we have those all over America? Don't we have the palm readers and the witches, and they're all over the place, and you can go get personal prophecy there too? That's no more of God than when you see these false prophets running around the house of the Lord pretending it is the word of God and quoting scripture. And we saw in Matthew 4 that just because they can quote scripture, we found that Satan can too, and twist it according to his means. So let's not let the children of the Lord be deceived anymore. For the word of the Lord and the work of the Lord and the servants of the Lord will point the kingdom, point the children of God towards the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not the world. They will not prophesy unto you of things of this earth. They will rebuke sin, call you to holiness, call you to righteousness. The apostles, they will serve the church, not be served by the church. Didn't Paul even make tents? Ugh. Oh, now all the false apostles are done, yes. Paul worked with his hand so that he said, in his own words, he would not be a burden to the churches. Now can we throw out all of the apostles? Because they're all burdens. They're all boils and blights on the bottom side of the church. And it's an embarrassment when we see them peddle. And they peddle their rhetoric, and they might peddle their books, or they might peddle their prophecies. They'll peddle holy water, holy relics, whatever. And, of course, all the mind control and all of the other witchcraft and divination that goes with it. Just throw them out. Jesus did. When they merchandised in the outer court, he beat them out of the temple. In the outer court, they were holy items, by the way, right? They were turtle doves for sacrifice and items for sacrifice. It's not like they were peddling, Rockstar DVDs or something like that. And these were, holy altar type of materials. He beat them out. Do not merchandise the house of the Lord. Now we can throw out all the false prophets, right? Because now we can see that's all they do. They are merchandising the children of the Lord. They are merchandising the gospels. There are no prophets in the United States of America because they're all merchandising the Lord. Not one is preaching righteousness. Not one is preaching holiness. Because if there were just one apostle, if there were just one prophet of the Lord in the United States of America, she would have been in repentance long ago. And this is the acid test the Messiah gave us. Look at the fruits. Do we see the fruits anywhere of an apostle? The Matthew 11 fruits. Are the lepers being healed? Do you see that? Is the good news being preached to the poor? Spiritually poor? Financially poor? Or is it going out over the major networks to the rich? Are they showing you interesting ways? Hey, you can not only give us tithes and offerings, but those stocks, bonds, and certificates you're not certain what to do with? We have a whole financial plan how you can give there and get a tax deduction. Oh, have mercy. What an abomination from the Lord. Look at how far the church has fallen that she has accepted junk food, such a substitute. Doesn't the scripture tell us the enemy comes as an angel of light? That the enemy comes as an angel of light, and so are the false prophets and false apostles in America. For they all come as angels of light, and as you saw in Matthew chapter 4, Satan quotes scripture, and so do they. But they are always leading the children of the Lord away from the kingdom of God. They are always leading them into their kingdom, their own personal teachings, their own personal vain philosophies, and not the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because if they did, well, the church would have thrown them out. They would have cut off their very own existence, the lifeline. The pagans understand, and the non-believers are well aware of the money trail, the famous, the world-famous audit trail. Even a famous Hollywood quote, show me the money, that's the money trail. Follow the money trail with the false apostles and the false prophets, and more often than not, that reveals the story. But with the prophet of the Lord and an apostle of the Lord, you can't even find a money trail. Because Paul, he worked with his hands. In other words, he had a job. Isn't that shocking? Oh, there they go again, every false apostle. Now they're really running away. And what's the excuse? Because this is the New Testament, and here's Paul called by the Lord. He's working with his hands, or he wouldn't be a burden to the church. Paul did take gifts from the church. He did. And there were even times that Paul preached and he was a little upset. He got zero help and zero support. But an apostle of the Lord, it is not their priority, for they will not be a burden to the church. And we saw this with the other apostles as well, and with Peter and with John. And it wasn't a very glamorous position to be in at all. For we know that the apostles of the Lord and the prophets suffered immensely for the gospel's sake. They suffered poverty, persecution, and prison. And we know today that that simply doesn't happen, because no false prophet and no false apostle would ever put themselves in a position like that, because they're out after their own flesh and their own kingdom. But not the servant of the Lord. For truly the Lord says, he calls his servants the apostles and prophets. We saw this in Amos 3:7. We see it again in Deuteronomy 13 and in Deuteronomy 18. And now we know that based on the word of the Lord, there are no apostles in the United States of America. They're all lying to themselves, and they are lying to the church. And the false apostles, those that are reproducing themselves, are reproducing lies and sick churches that are focused towards the world and not the kingdom of God. Those false apostles will be accountable on the day of judgment, and it won't go well for them. Last scripture for the evening, so we're just about out of time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. So they're called by the Lord, just like Jesus showed us in Matthew 11. There's the signs, wonders, and miracles. And of course, that will point the children of the Lord to the kingdom of God. There are no apostles and there are no prophets of the Lord in the United States of America. But there is the opportunity for all the false prophets and all the false apostles to repent before the coming of the Messiah. For time is over. And for too long, the church has been deceived. And some of the false apostles and some of the false prophets have even deceived themselves. And they've been misled by others. But today, I want you to know that heaven is still open. This is the day of salvation. That all have fallen short of the glory of. And if the Lord hadn't left us a remnant, as we read in Isaiah, if he hadn't left us a remnant, we would all be blotted out. But today is the day of salvation, that we can turn from our sins, return to the Lord, cross over to Jesus, and sin no more. No more going back to false prophecy. No more going back to the ways of a false prophet. No more going back to the ways of witchcraft or divination. In Jesus' mighty name. Next segment, as the Lord leads, this is the prophecy at the midnight hour. And this is Pastor Lou of the Maryland Altar. Shalom. Shalom.